Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through, and we continue with a relevant study of the Book of Revelation in a fireside chat with Dr. Gregory Denation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, as he responds to your questions on the Book of Revelation. Here is Dr. Denation in part two of Understanding the Times.
Yes, questions from your sides?
Pastor Greg, I just wanted to ask, because we were discussing, you were talking about how the drama is set out and the decoration, and there's always a purpose behind everything. It's not just a pointless operation. I'm just going back to Revelation chapter 1 when he has the first vision of Jesus standing in between the golden lampstands. Correct me if I'm wrong. I take it as the seven golden lampstands being the seven churches that the letters are being written to. But I've always wanted to know myself, when he describes Jesus and they speak about the hairs of his head were white and like snow, his eyes were like flames of fire, his feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roaring of many waters. When you read through that, there's a lot of symbolism there and decoration there. And it sounds very similar to the statues that we were talking about in Daniel with the different kinds of metals and everything. Could you maybe give us a breakdown for those that don't understand, like myself, what does all that symbolism mean when he's describing Jesus and the different types of materials and especially the colors and everything? What are those relating to?
Well, it's quite interesting that you highlighted the fact that the seven lampstands are the seven churches, because the symbolism actually starts there, that he is walking among the seven lampstands. So he is present amongst the churches. And there are seven churches that are mentioned specifically. That doesn't mean that there were only seven churches that existed at that time, but that highlights us now. So you apply your mind and say, there were much more than seven churches. So why are only seven mentioned? Because the number seven symbolizes something. Maybe it's important at this stage, before we get to the breakdown of who this living one is that is described here, the whole book is constructed around seven scenes. We have already said that it's a drama. So God is the dramatist who puts on stage this drama. And if we had to give a theme to this drama, we would call it the drama of human redemption. And covers a time period from the first coming of the Lord Jesus to his second coming. So it's the whole church era and what the church will face in a hostile, secular, persecuting environment and force that's trying to take its faith away from it. Now, the lampstands are symbolic of a light that shines in the dark. So that's what the church was intended to be. Intended to be a light that shines in the dark. Now, they're not on their own. They have not been abandoned. And this is the real crisis, the crisis question that was there. Did God leave us? Did Jesus ascend into heaven and abandon us? Are we at the mercy of these secular forces? Is the church alone? So when this vision comes and John says, I saw him walking among the seven golden lampstands, just how encouraging is that? He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us alone. He's in fact walking amongst the seven golden lampstands, the seven churches as such. Now, you have a lot of pictures of Jesus. Some of them look American. Some of them look British and European, and very few of them actually depict him as a Palestinian Middle Eastern Jew, which was maybe olive colored and different style of hair, not blue eyes. So Paul says, even if we had known Christ in the flesh, we now no longer know him. And indeed, the Lord Jesus has become all things to all people in order that he may save them. Here we actually have a picture of the living risen Christ, how he appears now. But it is still clothed in the decor of the whole drama of Revelation as it unfolds for us. And when you look at it, and I'm going to read some of those elements, he is the Son of Man. That's in verse 13. He's dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. And you'll see every time the cherubim and the seraphim and the heavenly entities appear, they're always in this robe reaching down to the feet and a golden sash around the chest. So in typical heavenly body form, he appears, which symbolizes authority. It symbolizes his divinity, his position as a supernatural one who enters into the scenario. And his head and hair were like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire. So you can definitely see this is the cosmic Christ, meaning he's not now restricted as an Indian for the Indians, or a Japanese for the Japanese, or a Chinese for the Chinese. Although, when he reveals himself to each individual, he does indeed come as an Indian for the Indians, and a Jew for the Jews, as he appeared on earth, and a South American Inca or Aztec for them. So he does indeed become all things to all people. But if we want to know him, this is what he looks like. His head and hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were bronze, glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. You will see that it's not exactly like the statues that we see in Daniel, because he's not creative. So he's not something made by human hands, as you would expect a statue to be. And each and every one of these elements represent one of his not only virtues, but characteristics. It identifies him as the Son of Man, that is the resurrected one. You don't see him looking typically like a human being. So his full divinity actually surfaces here. And the fact that the robe, we assume, was white, speaks of the purity, the cleansing that was there, that he is pure, that he is holy. The golden sash, that's a noble metal, speaks about his majesty. Head and hair were white like wool, again, a symbol, the Ancient of Days. His eyes were like blazing fire, they search and they purge. You stand convicted at his gaze. And that out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword representing the word of God. Cutting Hebrews 4 tells us about that in verse 12, that it's the word of God is a two-edged sword. In his right hand he held seven stars. Now the seven stars are the seven angels. The word that is used there when he speaks about those leaders, he says they are angeloi. In fact, verse 19 actually and 20 tells us that we need to decipher this code. He says in verse 19, write therefore what you have seen, what is now, what will be take place later. That gives us the scope. But then he goes on, he says, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels, the angeloi of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So now we know that the seven lampstands are the seven churches because the key to interpreting it is given by the book itself. We know that the stars are not stars. They are actually representing the angels. You can make out a case that angeloi means messenger, so it could actually be the leaders or the pastors or the elders of those churches. It's possible to interpret it like that. Doesn't make a difference. It means that the one who is supervising there, who is leading there, who is in control there, who is watching over there, that's the one who must get this message, and it's a message for the church. So I'm not sure if that answers your question. It's a question that needed a lot of explanation to be able to get
Yes, and I'm pretty sure that you're just scratching the surface, but at least our eyes are open a little bit more when we read that verse now. We understand what that picture of Jesus is portraying to us as people.
Yes, and it's important also to know that the fact that we need to decode the symbols in this book is not thumb-sucking. That's why in the end of chapter 1, we are actually told you must not observe this on the surface of things. There's something more behind it. He says in verse 20, which is a key verse, the mystery, in other words, what we don't understand, what is unclear to us, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. And now he's giving us the deciphering key. The seven stars are angels. So don't see stars in his right hand. You might see them as stars because that's the vision, but they represent seven entities, seven angels. And the seven golden lampstands, what are they? These are churches. So don't see a lampstand. You see a lampstand, but it's not a lampstand. It represents a church. So now that gives us the key that if we go to all the symbols in the rest of Revelation, we got to try and find out what they represent and what they mean.
It's almost like the cipher.
Yeah.
To decode the code.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Pastor Greg, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet sees a vision of somebody seated on a throne. Do you believe that that's God the Father, or could that also be an Old Testament picture of this, what we're seeing now in Revelations of Jesus as God?
It would definitely be the triune God as much as what it is possible for us to perceive that. Because the Trinity, he is an unfathomable mystery. We can refer to him by way of analogy, but even the analogies fail. They fall hopelessly short, because how can you actually contain God in a human definition? So we know the Father is the Father and he's not the Son. We know the Son is the Son and he's not the Spirit. So there are three unique persons, but one being. Now, if you ask me how that is possible, I tell you, see, my mind is too small. I don't even know why one times one is one. Because if I have two ones, there should be two. How do I get that to be one? My math teacher told me, so I believe it. I don't know why it's like that, but it happens to be like that. You know, some people have told us that we worship three gods. They say Father, that's number one, Son, that's number two, Holy Spirit, number three, and they say 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. I can't fault their maths, but I do fault their approach, because 1 + 1 + 1 is a very simplistic expression. And God is not simplistic, is not common. So you would expect God to be expressed in a compound relationship. So it's not a simplistic relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but a compound relationship. And what is a compound? A compound would be 1 × 1 × 1. Now you've got three ones there, but the product of that is one.
And that was Dr. Greg Denation in part 2 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. To listen to Thinking It Through at any time, go to the Play Store or iTunes Store and search for GNCR 93.6. Install the app, go to the podcast section and open Thinking It Through. Send us any questions you have about the book of Revelation to the email address that will be given at the end of this program. Stay tuned for part 3 tomorrow.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.